Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, our Savior, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, dear fellow redeemed. Last week we heard about Joseph. He was an exceptional man of faith and love. And yet his life was not easy. He experienced a lot of suffering, a lot of sorrow, loneliness. He was imprisoned before God raised him to honor and great power. It was during those years of suffering that he was being trained to be led to rely upon the Lord and trust totally in God's promises. This morning, we're introduced to another man, an exceptional man, a great man, but also an exceptional failure of a man. He was the son of a Jewish slave woman, but who was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He had all the wisdom and riches of Egyptian culture at his fingertips, and he lost it all when he killed an Egyptian. Had to flee for his life. He was an outcast. His career was ruined. His life was in jeopardy. He had escaped for his life. He was in exile. He was unknown and forgotten for almost 40 years, living as a recluse. And then suddenly, to this failure of a man, God comes with a call and says, You are the man to lead my people and bring about a great deliverance. Even as this man was unique and unusual, his name was Moses, which means to draw out, because he was drawn out of the Nile River, living in a little basket, and he became, as a Jewish slave, Pharaoh's adopted grandson, so also was his call unique and unusual. Moses began that day like he had done for the last 40 years. He got up, he went out into the wilderness near Horeb, and was watching his father-in-law's sheep. And suddenly he saw a bush burst into flames. As he watched, that bush burned and burned and burned, but never burned up. It wasn't consumed. And so Moses decided to investigate. Inside of that bush, in that burning bush, was the Lord God, the Savior, the Son of God, in his pre-incarnate state. And it was at that time that God called Moses to be his shepherd, his minister, his leader, and his servant to his people. And that's the first point to this morning's sermon text. Our theme is, the I Am God empowers his servants. And the first point is, he calls us. The Lord, the I Am God, called Abraham, even as he has called every single one of you here this morning, as servants, into his ministry. 40 years earlier, it wasn't that way. Moses had kind of called himself. He thought it was up to him to set God's people free. He realized he had a very high, exalted position. I mean, he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He was an adopted grandson of Pharaoh. He lived in Pharaoh's palace. He was probably the best one to be able to grab a hold of Pharaoh's ear and maybe talk to him about clemency, maybe even freedom for the Jewish people. But God doesn't work the way we always think is best. Yes, Moses was in his prime. He was 40 years old. Yes, he had a high position, living right there with Pharaoh, and he was eager and willing to serve. But it wasn't God's time. God hadn't called Moses. God works in mysterious ways. 40 years later, now when he's 80 years old, past his prime, now he's living as a wanted man, no longer in authority or in a high position, and now he's no longer eager and willing, but he's more than reluctant and makes one excuse after another excuse after another excuse not to accept God's call. When Moses thought the time was right to deliver the people, he failed miserably. When God knew the time was right for his call to deliver Israel, he wasn't ready. So we see in the gospel ministry that it is indeed the Lord God who calls his pastors, his servants, his teachers, his leaders in the church. Many years ago, the Lord called me out of my seminary years into the public ministry. He called me to Milton, Wisconsin, Saginaw, Michigan, then here in Middleton. Several years ago, the Lord God called Miss Abbas from her teaching graduation to be our teacher here. And the Lord God has called every single one of you, both to be his children, but also to be his servants, his ministers in his kingdom as Christian parents, Christian friends, Christian relatives, neighbors, into his gospel ministry here, not only at Peace of Christ, but in his kingdom in the Holy Christian Church. There's a stark contrast between the Moses of 40 and the Moses of 80, and it was not just maturity. The Moses of 40 was self-confident. He relied upon himself. He thought, I need to do this. I need to get Israel and set him free. The Moses of 80 was fearful reluctant, did not want to serve. In fact, we hear in our text, he said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" What Moses failed to realize is that the I am God empowers his servants. As you see in our second point, it is because he is always with us. The Lord God responded to Moses' question, "Who am I?" by saying, "I will certainly be with you." Well, then Moses asked, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, if I do go, and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" The Lord God said, "Say to them, 'I am who I am. I am has sent me to you. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." The name I am is God's great, powerful name. We know it as Yahweh or Jehovah. It's known to us in the Old Testament as Lord. We heard it many, many times in our scripture readings this morning. The I am God. It tells us a lot about our God, his being omniscient, his being all-knowing, his being unchangeable, his being faithful to his promises, ever-present, always the same. God is never I was or I will be. He always is I am. Sometime later, Moses wrote in Psalm 90, "Lord, Jehovah, I am, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." But at this time, Moses wasn't convinced. He gave to God more excuses. First he said, "What if they don't listen to me? What if they don't believe in me?" Then he said, "I'm slow of speech. I don't speak very well." Then he said, "Oh Lord, send someone, anyone else but me." Remember how God responded? First he said, "Don't worry about your not being anybody. They'll listen to you. They'll believe you. I'll prove it to you. Take your staff. Throw it on the ground." So he did. It turned to a snake. Then he said, "Now grab the snake's tail." So he reaches down, grabs the snake's tail. It turned back into a staff. He said, "Take your hand, stick it in your coat." Stuck it in his cloak, pulled it out. It was white with leprosy. "Stick it back in," pulled it out. It was healed. "Take that pitcher of water, throw it on the ground." Threw it on the ground, it turned into blood. He said, "I'll be with you. I'll give you the ability to do miracles that will amaze Pharaoh and eventually lead him to let my people go. And as far as you're not being able to speak very well," God said, "who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." And when he still said, "Send anyone else," God in anger said, "Okay, Aaron will be your spokesman. Now go." Isn't that the same thing we say sometimes? "What? Lord, you want me to talk to my neighbor about you? You want me to talk to my boss, my fellow worker, my classmate, my relatives, friends, and tell them you are the savior of the world? I can't do that. Who am I? I'm not a minister. When I get excited, like nervous, I stutter, I stammer, I talk too fast. I surely can't do that. Send someone else." And yet we heard this morning in our first scripture reading from Matthew that God in the Great Commission didn't call just the disciples, just the pastors. He has called every believing child of God to go out into the world and make disciples. Make disciples by teaching and talking and telling people about Jesus. There's a danger of two sides. One may say, yeah, I'm ready to go. I want to tell someone about Jesus because I'm going to use my intellect, my wisdom, and I'll get him, and I'll get him for Christ. That's pride. Or say, who am I? I failed the past. I'm weak and frail. I can't do anything. I can't serve the Lord. And that's a weakness of faith. May we respond to God's call by, first of all, trusting that the I Am God is always with us. He empowers us. And then by saying, here, my Lord, send me. Use me. The Apostle Paul, the Lord said this to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Finally, we see that as servants empowered by the I Am God to proclaim the gospel, we revere his word. When Moses walked close to that burning bush, a voice came out of that burning bush, the Lord speaking to him and said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. It was a custom of the Oriental people when they went to home to take off their dirty sandals and wash their feet as they approached that house. And especially if they went into a religious house of worship. So God said to Moses, this is holy ground. Take your sandals off. Why was it holy ground? Because God was there in his presence with his word. So when we come into this house of worship, which is God's house because of his presence with his word and his sacraments, we don't take off our shoes because they're kind of dirty, but we remove the filth and the dirt from a sinful heart by confessing our sins, by acknowledging our sinfulness as we did this morning, laying all of our sins upon our Savior Jesus and basking in the glory and the joy of knowing that our sins have been forgiven, we are cleansed and washed clean through Christ's shed blood. And that's how we approach God's word. This word of God is Christ, the Son of God. John writes in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we approach the Word, we do so reverently, humbly. It doesn't mean that we dust off our Bibles once a week and make sure they're out in a popular place in our house. It means that we read his Word humbly, reverently, letting God's word speak to us rather than we speak to it. We approach God's word by poking out the eyes of our reason and listening to God's word, humbly submitting to what he says, whether we understand it or fathom it or not. For this is God's call to every single one of us. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Moses is to go to Pharaoh and to his people and say, the Lord God will have a great deliverance, set you free from slavery, and lead you into the promised land. The same Lord Jesus, the I Am God, says we are to tell people, the Lord God in the great deliverance has set us free from the slavery of sin alone through Jesus Christ, and will take us and lead us into the heavenly promised land. The Lord said to Moses, I am who I am. I am has sent you, and it will certainly be with you. Our Savior Jesus said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. The Lord doesn't care about our ability or our inability. He cares about our availability. And so Christ says to every sinner, come unto me. And to every converted sinner, he says, now go out. Go out into the world and tell everyone about me. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say, he died for all. If you cannot rouse the wicked with the judgment's dread alarms, you can lead the little children to our Savior's waiting arms. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying, and the Master calls for you. Let his work take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calls you. Here am I. Send me. Send me. And so we pray. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our I Am Savior. Amen.